Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Mann. Now it's mid-December and everyone's beginning to feel a little bit festive, but we're about to crank things up a gear as we turn on our turntable and give this year's Christmas records a spin. From Kacey Musgraves to Kylie Minogue, plenty of pop, rock and country stars are giving the Yuletide album a shot this year. And today I'm joined round the table by a few experts who've been getting their teeth into the best of them. Those experts are music journalist Laura Snapes, chief rock and pop critic for The Times, Will Hodgkinson, and the DJ and broadcaster Baylen Leonard. Welcome all.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, thank that's you. What we wanted. That's what I was wondering when I was going to get a Merry Christmas. And that's the first, I think it's the first one of the year, actually.
Or Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays.
Yes.
Yeah, we can do that as well.
That's what we say where I'm from, yeah.
Laura, what's your vibe?
Very Christmassy.
Very Christmassy.
Getting ready to sign off work, basically. I've got that like end of term feeling. We should just be watching episodes of Friends in French, that kind of thing.
Okay, I like it. That's a specific kind of holiday thing. I like that. Where's that come from?
School. You get to watch trash, but only if it was in a foreign language.
I see, that's right. Okay, this is like the very contemporary version of the language lab.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it, right? Friends in French, les amis. We like it.
Sounds good.
Always good. Now, what happens then to music at this time of year? It gets jingle bells, it gets a sleigh bell vibe, it gets a snowy dusting if there's a promo video to go with it.
And a nice plate of cheese as well. You always get a little bit of cheese
at
Christmas time.
All bets are off. Yeah, okay.
All bets are off at Christmas. You know, I think that we've got Marika Hackman, for example, who's a very credible indie-ish, quite serious person doing a Christmas album.
Yeah,
and Kylie Minogue. Okay, you'd imagine that Kylie Minogue would do it, but I think the Killers always do a Christmas song. I mean, I think the rules change at Christmas.
Okay.
You can't take yourself too seriously.
And Laura, is this something that you welcome at Christmas time when people, as we say, no surprise that Kylie's doing it, but Marika Hackman, someone like that, someone a little bit more street.
My favourite Christmas songs are the really cheesy, really, really campy ones. Yeah. And I admire people, people always say, there's not been a big Christmas song since Mariah Carey, or I think the Darkness one from about 2003 has just about made it into
the canon.
Don't
Let the Bells End.
I think that's a great song.
It's
unashamedly think that's great. And I admire people's attempts to try and add to the Christmas canon, but I think when you're trying, that's the downfall. I think all the best Christmas songs were written by accident. Last Christmas was written, George Michael had been really, really trying to write a Christmas song and he couldn't do it. So we went round to his mum's house and Andrew Ridgely was watching Match of the Day and George went upstairs and just wrote Last Christmas just like that. And I think when people try too hard, you don't get good ones, and that's why there's not really been any standouts in the past few years. But I appreciate the effort.
We'll separate the wheat from the chaff. We'll separate the reindeers from the other unnameable and unmemorable reindeer during this programme. By the way, we always ask a question on the Culture Show, so we can crowbar one in, which is, what's the best Christmas album of 2016? So let's try and answer that question. We're going to go first to Kacey Musgraves, a huge country star, huge crossover country star, you could easily say. Has sold bucket loads of albums in the USA and abroad. Should we take a little bit of a slice of her LP first, and then we'll talk about Kacey Musgraves?
Have yourself a Christmas, let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas, make the Yuletide gay.
Okay, well, that's kind of some mellifluous stuff. Great voice, nice recording. Laura Snapes, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about Kacey, as we all do around this table. What's Kacey giving us this year?
I think, for my money, this is the best Christmas album of 2016 of the ones that I've heard.
Going straight in there.
I think, I love her as a country artist. I love that kind of slightly more daring vibe that she's got, but I like kind of the pure traditionalness of this. I think she's done some stuff with Disney before, and I think you really get that kind of very Disney-fied quality out of her voice here. I unashamedly love going to Euro Disney, and it reminds me of what Euro Disney is like at, I think they haven't called it that since about 1994, but it reminds me of what that place is like at Christmas time. I really appreciate kind of the Hawaiian vibe she's got going on there. It's not all classic jingle bells. It feels like a very kind of tender end for a very raw year, and I welcome it.
Oh, well, well said indeed. Yeah, just from that clip alone, I feel like I'm somewhere with dust under my feet, but also maybe there's a bit of dust bowl as well as snowflakes.
Yeah, maybe you're wearing some Christmas cowboy boots while you're listening to that. I really agree with this. We could wrap this up right now because I do think it is the best Christmas album that has come out this year. And what I like about it is that she stays really true to her sound as well. You mentioned the Hawaiian thing, but also a real Tex-Mex thing that goes through this, which is her style down to the ground, both in the way she sounds, the way she looks, the way her stage sets are designed. And filled with classics, all the classics that you want, but also some fun original songs on there as well.
A nice Willie Nelson song on there as well. Yeah. A song she does with Willie Nelson.
Yeah, I hope you have a Willie nice Christmas and we all stay as high as the angel on top of the tree.
Exactly.
Perfect, right? With Willie on it. And also bringing in some other Texas friends on there as well. There's some sisters on there and they're fiddle playing champions. Right. I'm not sure how you pronounce their name. Is it Quebe Sisters? Q-U-E-B-E Sisters. I hadn't actually heard of them before this album.
By the way, turn to Will, Dictionary Corner, Will Hodgkinson there.
I was hoping somebody might know how to pronounce their name. But I hadn't heard of this trio of sisters before, but they're out of Dallas and they're fiddle playing champions from Dallas and they have really great blood harmony which can kind of only come from being sisters. And then also Leon Bridges is on there as well. He's from Fort Worth and he's more of a soul kind of gospel thing. So there's a lot to really like on this album and it's fun. And I think that that is one of the things that Christmas albums need to be. They need to be fun. And as we said earlier, there needs to be a bit of cheese there. And as smart and as talented and as well written as a lot of Casey's songs are, she also doesn't shy away from a little bit of cheese. And I think that combination on this album is perfect.
Nice. Okay, so we've got two votes for Kacey Musgrave. I'm not entirely sure whether this parliament really needs unanimity and whether Will Hodgkinson needs to raise his hand. I wonder, Kacey Musgrave has made a couple of great albums that sort of are country albums, but sort of slightly defy the convention, slightly arch their eyebrow at the convention of country music as well. Has she done that with her Christmas LP, I wonder?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be non-controversial here, but I absolutely love it.
It's Christmas.
This album. I absolutely love it. And there's also what I think she's got, because I always think Christmas, I love Christmas, but I always think it's a bit sad. Yeah. There's a sadness to Christmas, there's a melancholy. And she's got a song there, which I'm pretty sure is one of her own, called What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? And she's pining for her ex.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a feeling that a lot of us have. But at the same time, she's got, like you say, there's a touch of cheese. It's very celebratory. And it's quite cool, but it's not overly cool. It's not hipster, you know. Yeah. And I just feel she's got a balance really right. She's got a beautiful voice. Mm. And I did think that, you know, the idea of country, although there is a lot of country music at Christmas, but I thought, you know, well, cowboy boots are going to be useless in a snowstorm. But there's something about it which I felt is just fantastic. So, you know, I love it.
Use the Cuban heels to scrape the ice off the windscreen.
Exactly.
Fine.
You can put chains on the bottom of your cowboy boots. Trust me.
Beta knows this for a fact, right? This has been tried and tested in the Leonard household. Okay, so it's 3 out of 3 for Kacey Musgraves and a very Kacey Christmas, obviously, out now. Neil Diamond, we're going to talk about next. Now, we feel like he was someone that could, if not own Christmas, he's kind of got the pedigree. He's got I suppose he's got at least the age that makes you believe that he's kind of weathered many a Christmas. But all is not necessarily snowy and rosy in the Diamond Garden.
Well, it might be for some Neil Diamond fans, but I am a huge Neil Diamond fan, and this was a crushing disappointment for me. And what really did it for me was that you have him doing these songs, you know, his Christmas prayers, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Mary's Boy Child, which, by the way, is an insult to the memory of Boney M. And he does it in this way, which, you know, we all love I Am, I Said. Mm. You know, we all love Sweet Caroline. And those songs are so powerful because you feel that he believes them. And now he's singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing in exactly the same way. And I'm thinking, hang on, did he mean anything back then at all? Or was that just his singing style? So all of a sudden, I find myself kind of questioning the very essence of Neil Diamond, which is not what I wanted to do.
Good God, this is amazing. This is presumably the peril of making a Christmas album as well, that it can take to pieces the rest of a very fantastic, legendary career.
It's a crisis for me.
Yeah. Shall we have a bit of... it's called An Acoustic Christmas. It's from Neil Diamond. This track is called Children, Go Where I Send Thee.
Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? Well, I'm gonna send thee 2 by 2, 2 for Paul and Silas, 1 for the little bitty baby was born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee 3 by 3.
Okay, well, that's from the Acoustic Christmas album from Neil Diamond. I'd say that's one of the least worst moments on it.
That wasn't too bad. After everything I said.
Actually, the chained cowboy boots can be used for two purposes. One is to...
No, there's some stuff that's worse than that. It's just, I didn't believe... I think, you know, it's like you're saying, Raylan, you know, you've got to believe it. And I felt that you know, that you got to have that kind of touch of cheese, but it's got to be heartfelt too. And it didn't convince for me.
There is obviously in all albums, there is strength in brevity. And Kacey Musgraves' album is only, it's just over half an hour long. I think the Marika Hackman one is a sort of, I don't know, it's like a novella or a very slim novel, actually, what it counts as. But that's a short one. This has got 18 tracks or something. This is a long old thing.
And you fill every single one of them as well. When I first put this album on, I thought, oh, this is exactly what I want from a Neil Diamond Christmas album. He sounds like Neil Diamond. There's some classics on here. And then I think before even the first song was finished, I thought, oh, how much longer is this? And by the time he got to Mary's Boy Child, I agree with you, I thought, oh, lordy, Neil.
Yeah.
And then the problem for me was that there wasn't much fun on this album at all.
It's quite monotone, isn't it?
Yeah, I think maybe the last two songs on the album, one is which I won a number one record for Christmas, and
he's not having that.
He's definitely having that Christmas wish is not coming true, yeah. Neil. And the Christmas medley that he does at the end, it kind of does lift things. But up until that point, it's a pretty sad affair, I think.
It is, and also it sounds like, I mean, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you know, it sounds like it's got the Bon Tempe organ on orchestra setting. Mm.
Right, yeah.
But I wonder if this isn't for us. I wonder if I played this for my mom or my grandma, my aunties, if they wouldn't just lap it up. I think that they would actually like it much more than I appreciate. I think I was wanting something from it that it wasn't going to ever deliver.
Okay, so none out of two so far. Can Laura Snape's rescue Neil Diamond?
I would say this is my first dousing in the essence of Neil Diamond, and it did not make me want to go back for more. I have no cultural reference points for him. I thought the first one was okay. It was quite stately, and then the second one started and it was just schmaltz, and I have to admit I didn't listen to the whole thing because I thought it was unbearable.
Oh dear. Well, so Neil Diamond gets none out of three as we try to answer the question, who's made the best Christmas album of 2016? Well, it's a massive 1-0 or 3-0 to Kacey Musgraves at the moment. From a slightly different Christmas feel, let's go to Marika Hackman. She's just put out a 6-track EP called Wonderland, which features a few covers plus a couple of songs she penned herself. And before we discuss the record, let's hear from Marika about how she went about writing this album earlier on this year in the height of summer.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty winds may moan. I stood hard as iron, like a stone.
I wanted to release Christmas music because I think it posed quite an exciting challenge. And I think that my music's quite wintry sounding, it's quite cold sounding anyway, so it felt like it would be a good fit. But it's also fun to work to a brief. I'm not used to doing that so much, and I think it makes you sometimes a lot more inventive, and you kind of push yourself into places that you wouldn't necessarily go before.
Snow had fallen, snow.
The brief was to write a Christmas EP. I said that I would probably do maybe one or two original songs, a few covers, and a choral piece, and I kind of finally managed to get that all together in the end. The covers that I picked are just all of my favourite classic Christmas songs. They're all more sort of choral based, and just putting my own twist on them. I like doing covers, I think it's fun. I think it's that challenge of taking something that already exists and kind of reworking it into your own thing. That was quite a lot of fun making those.
Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. You're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
I think a Christmas song should be, it's either that sort of, that warm coziness that's kind of slightly nostalgic, or you can go for a kind of cold, wintry feel that's probably more nature-based rather than Christmas-based. I think if you can get both of them in one song, that's probably quite an exciting thing to try and do, match the bleakness of winter and sometimes and Christmas for some people as well, but also make it feel a bit warm and fuzzy. I went into writing the two Christmas songs that are on there probably in a pretty similar way to how I normally write, but it's just having in the back of your mind, you know, that it's got to end up in a certain place, which normally I'm pretty free and easy and it can go anywhere. I wrote Driving Under Stars on the bass, which I think automatically will give it a more upbeat feel, because it's like you're just writing a bass line on there. It's probably going to be a bit more heavy sounding, a bit grungy or whatever, and put some live drums on it to give it a bit more fun. Writing Christmas songs in the sun, well, in trying to hide in my room from the sun, I think that was the biggest challenge when doing this, mainly because I really don't like hot weather, and I felt very uncomfortable in my room because it's a bit like a greenhouse, and I was just overheating and sort of trying to conjure up all these snowy imagery in my mind. But you kind of just have to like separate yourself from that and just go with your imagination, get into the right mindset and just have a go. The dashboard, the bells have started ringing and you sleep on. I like listening to like a lot of different stuff. I like choral music a lot. I think that's kind of what makes me feel the most Christmassy. And I think that's why I've picked songs as well, like In the Bleak Midwinter and O Come Emmanuel, because they're kind of classic choral compositions. And when we're at home with my family, and we usually listen to sort of choral stuff on the actual day, so that's probably why it makes me feel like that. But having said that, you know, I love a bit of Mariah Carey and a bit of Wham and stuff. It's fun, like that's the whole point. It's kind of, it's just silly Christmas fun.
Thanks for talking us through that, Marika Hackman. That's Wonderland, her Christmas LP. We heard Driving Under Stars and Paper Crown, bits of those in that little interview with Marika. What do we think of those? Christmas, we want it to be cold. Can it be too cool?
I think it's a bit too cool. I wish there was more of the vibe of Driving Under Stars on this album. Mm. Melancholy is definitely one of the things. I appreciate it sonically. I think that, you know, from an artistic standpoint, I really appreciate what she's doing. I would never put this album on to have Christmas at home, or to wrap presents, or to have dinner, or anything like that. Bleak Midwinter really does sum up this entire album, I think, for me. It just felt so incredibly bleak, the whole thing.
You can be a bit too minor chord about this thing.
Yeah, like I do appreciate where she's coming from, but I just don't think it's a very good Christmas album.
Yeah.
It might be a good album, but it's not a very good, it doesn't make me feel Christmassy at all. It makes me feel like I forgot to wear my scarf and I'm okay, stranded out in a snowdrift.
This is an important distinction to make, because we are talking about Christmas albums here. Well, you're nodding along there.
I actually liked her version of In the Bleak Midwinter, yeah, but I think I've got a there's a slightly kind of rather British Puritan sensibility which inside it, which I find quite attractive.
Okay.
It's a sort of, you know, whipping yourself with a, you know, spring of holly.
This is not a Catholic Christmas.
No, exactly. This is quite
the
opposite.
No smells and bells.
Yeah,
here.
Which sins have you committed this year?
Okay.
So no, I liked it, and it also sort of reminded me of that feeling when you're a teenager and you've had Christmas and it's fun, and then by Boxing Day you're thinking, oh, I really want to go down to, you know, the nearest gig.
Yeah.
And I want to meet my friends, and yeah, I want to, you know, I want to be part of that thing again.
Yeah.
After, you know, having sort of, you know, tried, you know, having a nip of the sherry with granny or whatever. So I quite liked it. I mean, I didn't blow me away, but I thought I liked it. And I did like that sort of frosty choral sound of, yeah, In the Bleak Midwinter.
So there is something more, this is maybe not a Christmas antidote, Laura, but something to get you off the mince pies and get you back into the bleakness of midwinter, the reality of the bleakness of midwinter. Possibly.
I don't think it was melancholy enough. My favourite Christmas albums are the Low Christmas album, I think is beautiful,
okay,
the Vince Guaraldi from the Charlie Brown Christmas, and the Mary Margaret O'Hara EP, Christmas EP, and they're all quite dark. And I think this wants to go there, but it's a little bit afraid of doing it. It's like Low by way of the John Lewis Christmas advert. She doesn't quite commit. I kind of appreciate how her voice reminds me of like Connie Converse, but I don't think I could listen to that, yeah, kind of tremulous warble for a whole EP. I did quite like the Driving Under Stars song. I thought that was quite good, and if she'd committed to that a bit more, it would have been interesting. I thought her rearrangement of Bleak Midwinter was really good. I liked the kind of way the notes kind of slipped out from under you, and it was a bit unexpected. But then what she did to Winter Wonderland, I mean, a pet hate of mine is when people make pop songs into kind of slow dirges. Mm. So I could give or take that. It was like good effort, I would say.
One thing I did like about this record was the use of the sleigh bells and the kind of Christmas tropes and all the rest of it were used quite subtly and quite nicely rather than front and centre. I don't know whether that's not camp enough for Christmas. I don't know. But that was something in its favour, I thought. Marika Hackman, anyway, thanks for talking us through Wonderland. We're going to end with Loretta Lynn. Let's take a little bite of White Christmas Blue, her Christmas LP. This is Winter Wonderland.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song.
Who else but Loretta Lynn there, performing Winter Wonderland from her White Christmas Blue Christmas album. We're in Baylin Leonard territory here, I think, front and centre. So what do we think about this? Sounds pretty effortless.
Yeah, I love it because it's pure Loretta Lynn from start to finish. And I think it instantly sets a scene there. Maybe it's just because I'm from that area, but I'm instantly back in the mountains. I'm wrapped up. I'm building a fire. I'm putting chains on my boots. I'm doing all of those things that come along with a country Christmas. And I always love when you can hear someone's accent when they're singing.
Yeah.
And I love that you can hear her accent, and you always would because it's Loretta. I think there's enough fun on this that you can pop it on for a gathering. I think there's enough standards on there to keep you in familiar territory. And then there's enough fun that she has. She does a re-recording of one of my favorite country Christmas songs of all time, which is called Country Christmas, which I play pretty much every year. And she's re-recorded it for this album. And I just love it. There's White Christmas Blue when she says you should be saying ho 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 instead of boo hoo hoo, you know, gives you the melancholy that maybe Laura will pique your interest in that regard as well. But I think it's got a little something for everyone, and she's an absolute legend, so it was always going to be okay by me.
Okay, Laura Snopes.
I'm a big fan. I think it's pretty hard to do a country Christmas album wrong. I think there's something about those kind of walking bass lines, and I always think that country sounds festive all year round, not just at Christmas. It's got that kind of air to it. So, and I think the storytelling also lends itself to the form much better than kind of somebody trying to make an indie rock kind of Christmas song. And I think even though in the UK we don't listen to a lot of country music necessarily, I think through our exposure to kind of like big Christmas films, I think this is where you hear sounds like this. And so, you know, even though I haven't grown up in the mountains in Tennessee much as I kind of wish I had, to me it does sound very Christmassy. And yeah, I thought it was wonderful.
Okay. Well, Loretta Lynn, can you hear the talent seeping through the speakers?
Oh yeah, I mean, I love Loretta Lynn. I love her voice. I personally probably wouldn't put this on at Christmas just because it's so country. Whereas for some reason, the Kacey Musgraves sort of sits in a place which I could just kind of fit in. But, you know, I love Loretta Lynn. But yeah, I think for me, it just goes too far away from a world that confuses me.
By the way, there's been a huge amount of Christmas albums. R. Kelly has a Christmas album out this year. Seems like I've had a press release every five a day talking about Christmas albums from unexpected quarters. But a lot, I mean, across all genres of music, but a lot of country albums. Garth Brooks, the Oak Ridge Boys, Kacey Musgraves and Loretta, as we just said. But there's been a huge amount. What I wonder, is everyone trying to escape the year? A year that they might not be entirely happy with? Who knows? Why are people, you know, people have gone crazy for Christmas this year?
Well, I think in country it's because they've got a huge Christian fan base, so they can just pander to them every Christmas.
Yeah, maybe that. Yeah. Maybe also people buy CDs at Christmas.
Buy presents for each other.
Yeah, so it's a good money spinner. I don't know why we found two slightly cynical reasons, possibly.
Maybe it's because people want to spread the joy of Christmas, you guys.
Thank you, Bale and Leonard. Exactly. So who wins? What is the best Christmas album of 2016?
It's Kacey Musgraves.
Definitely Kacey. Without question.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's Kacey Musgraves. Should we have a final little last clip of a little bit of Kacey Musgraves to hear what we were talking about, to remind ourselves of what we were talking about. And then we'll thank everybody. We'll jingle a sleigh bell and we'll say Merry Christmas.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright. The sun will shine by day and all the stars at night. Melancholy King Maka is the wise way to say Merry Christmas. Merry, Merry Christmas. A very Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, nice to hear another little bit of Casey Musgraves, on which we all agree is the best Christmas LP of 2016. By the way, just before we go, what are the Christmas albums that are always on around Christmas lunch, around Christmas time in your households, Will?
There's an album called Frost and Fire, which is by the Yorkshire singing family, the Watersons. And the Christmas section of that is, we're talking about the total and utter bleakness and misery and punishment. That actually puts me in quite a good mood. So okay. I like that. And I also love Christmas Time Is Here by Vince Guaraldi, which is on the Peanuts.
Yeah.
Just because it's so sad and really, really beautiful. And so that's my, and I've always loved Charlie Brown and Peanuts.
Yeah. Okay, Laura, what's the Snape's Christmas tree? What is it resounding to?
Oh, well, that's what I listen to at home, the Vince Guaraldi one. But when I go back to my parents' house, going back to Disneyland, we went when I was about 14 and there was a Christmas parade on and they were playing this hideous song called Chante Noël. And my dad bought a CD of it where you can get it in about 5 different versions. And on Christmas morning at like 7 a.m. when neither me nor my brothers are awake, he just likes to blast it through the house. So sadly, it's Chante Noël.
Nice, okay. Baylin, what's your Christmas LP of choice?
Well, the Peanuts one definitely as well, because I grew up watching that every single Christmas, so that means a lot to me. Of course, I'm always going to have Dolly Parton's Christmas albums on.
Yes,
her
please.
Version of Go Tell It on the Mountain is probably the best and definitive version of that song ever. It'll lift you, it'll take you really low and then it'll lift you really high, which is kind of what you want from Christmas as well. But I have to say, this year, the Jane Lynch album that came out this year, I've been listening to that, Swingin' Little Christmas.
Yeah.
It probably won't be something that I play every year, but this year I've had it on quite a lot because it's very, very fun.
Okay, nice. Well, thank you for giving us a little window also. A little window, peeping through the frosty window into Rapping Central. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guests, Baylin Leonard, Will Hodgkinson and Laura Snapes. You've been listening to Culture, and my producer was the none more seasonal Holly Fisher. She needs no joke. There's no pun today. We don't need one. Join me again at the same time next week. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bound, and Merry Christmas.